Welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Excuse me. Right off the bat, I got to get rid of this crazy fuzz that shows up every time I'm ready to start a show. It's the most interesting thing. One of these days, I'll get it figured out and gone for good. But until then, I apologize for clearing my throat. Anyway, welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, September 2nd, 2025. Happy September. Happy September. I love September. And it's really interesting because the shift into autumn has begun. I mentioned last week that all of a sudden the temperature was 20 degrees cooler than it had been. We'd had a really, really hot August in the 90s pretty much all the time, and no rain, you know, no moisture. But last week, not only did it get cooler, but it rained at least a little bit almost every day, like 5 out of 7 days. It rained, which was a miracle and an absolute blessing. And a couple of those days, it really poured. So everything, you know, the dry patches in the grass that I just couldn't get rid of by watering, like they just disappeared, you know, in a couple of days or almost disappeared. So it was so good, so healing, not just, you know, and not just for the growing things outside, but for me too. I mean, it was absolutely wonderful. And I know I'm not the only one who felt that way. It was just a big, almost like a big sigh, you know, just taking that beautiful rain and that atmosphere. And I can do cloudy days every day. So it was just heaven on earth for me, but just a real blessing, a real, real blessing. So anyway, that's my update. And I'm excited to be here today. This show is airing live on 12radio.com and streaming on YouTube. If you'd like to join the chat, just go to 12radio.com, click chat, and you can click the YouTube link posted under my banner to join in the chat room. You can also subscribe to my channel, and that way you'll be notified of the show every single week. So in the chat room, feel free to comment or ask questions about the teaching segment. I'm not good at answering questions while I'm talking. I just can't multitask like that. But I will answer them after the show through the chat room. So I don't do readings on the show, but if you would like a reading or a healing from me, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. I'm usually available mid to later morning, Pacific time into the evening. If you don't see me or if I'm on a call, just put in a callback request. I'll be notified immediately via text and I'll get back to you as soon as I possibly can. I have a new 15-minute time-based session available on my bio page on 12listen.com. Fall is in the air. This is the time I come alive. You know, like I come alive in spring because it's such an energy of change, and I come alive again in fall. I kind of go dormant in summer. You know, unlike you would think, you know, in the wintertime, I love winter. But summertime, boy, I guess that's the best way to say it. I kind of go dormant. I lose my enthusiasm. I'm so enthusiastic about, you know, all the life that's coming about in the spring. And then in the fall, when it gets cool and the leaves start changing, and fall, like spring, is just, we are in change and is evident every single day. I mean, we see it happening. And so we can take advantage of just that wonderful energy, you know, the crispness in the air, the leaves changing color, you know, we can take advantage of that. So the purpose of this 15-minute time-based session is to release old energy in order to be available to what autumn has to offer. You know, autumn is as we get further into, as when it is officially autumn, it's the time of the harvest. It's the time when you bring in all that good that you've been working on for a while. So, you know, the more we can embrace change, the better off we are, because change is life. Life is change. So here we get to see beautiful change. If you live in a place where you actually see seasons changing, we can just be in it. You know, it has its own energy, and we can be in that energy and and, you know, start to put on our warm, comfy clothes, which again is my happy place. So I love fall, and that's all there is to it. So that's my time-based session. It's a 15-minute time-based session, and it's a good healing. You know, it's a good healing. Just let go of the stuff that's not serving you. And we're, you know, we are eternal beings. We have been around forever. Therefore, we carry energy with us from all those lifetimes. And what happens is, you know, we are layer upon layer of energy and information. So, you know, things that we think we've addressed and let go of come back around. And it's not that they're coming back after they've been released. It's just a different layer that we've been carrying around. Because the beautiful thing about God and spirit is it only lets us see and brings into our attention what we can have in the moment. So when you work on something that you want to change, something that you want to let go of, you truly have let go of it. You know, in healing sessions, in releasing programs meaning old beliefs that are just beliefs, are not truth. They're erroneous energy that we carry around with us, but they can be released. And that makes space in our space, so to speak, our energetic space, our consciousness, for new, for good things. We just expand by releasing what doesn't serve us. But when we release that and we continue to evolve, then we're ready for a deeper layer to come forward. You know, something that's maybe a little quote unquote heavier that we could not have really looked at or had or been ready for any earlier than the time that it shows up. So, you know, it's sometimes people say, well, I know I've worked on that. Geez, I've worked on that for years. Why is it still showing up? Well, it's just another layer, and you've been around forever. So that's just how it is. So we can get rid of anything at any time because it's erroneous. It has no power, has no law, has no legs or substance to it. Therefore, we can move it, and we feel so much better, and we can lighten our load and grow, and it's another step in our evolution. And, you know, everyone, the purpose of every human being is to reveal the face of the divine. That's what we're here for. We're here to find out who we are through this place called Earth, you know, this physical school that we're in, to make the most of it, to have it, to realize that life is change. That's what it is. And if we can realize that and have it, quote unquote, have it, accept it, then we don't suffer so much. You know, when we want things to be different than they are, we suffer because they are just what they are. If we want that person to be different than they are, we suffer because that person's just being them. So it's all an inside job. It's all up to us. And when we drop baggage off our cart, you know, when we just let stuff go that's not serving us, we feel we expand ourselves. We expand ourselves and we expand our ability to just have life as it comes, because it's a wild card and it's not going to change. We are responsible only for ourselves. Any change that we feel is necessary is something we have to look at within ourselves and change and let go in a loving manner, in a loving manner. Anyway, that was a bit of a tangent. Just a reminder, we have reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week on 1-2-listen.com. Typically that's Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. We also celebrate other events, astrological events, and the 12th of each month. And I know that this Sunday is the eclipse. If you listen to C.A. Brooks before my show, I know that you heard all about that. But and then we also celebrate the 12th of each month, which we call 12 Day. If you want to be notified of our specials, if you want to just check us out, if you've never visited 1-2-listen.com, I invite you to do that. If you want to be notified of our specials, you can sign up for 1-2 promotions by leaving your email address. I just want to thank you again for listening today, and or however and whenever you do. There is programming on 1-2 Radio 24/7. There are archives of all of the shows from all of the hosts in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. You can download them anytime you want. 1-2 Radio is a great source of inspiration, information, and support. So I invite you to take advantage. And I just want to say thank you to Serena today for producing my show and for all that she does for us on 1-2 Radio, which is a ton. So thanks, Serena. And we're going to move into the teaching segment, make our segue out of the hellos and the announcements into the teaching segment, which is about grace. And I'm really, really excited to talk about that today. But we're gonna get there by listening to a song called On the Road to Rivendell by David and Steve Gordon from the Celtic Lounge 3 CD and Sequoia Records. So enjoy it, and I'll be back right after. Thanks again for being here. I'm Kelly Whetstone. You're listening to Empowerment. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. That's a lovely little piece, I think, from the Gordon Brothers. So, as I said, I want to talk about grace today. And I want to start with a couple of personal experiences that are really great examples of, you know, something coming in, taking care of me that, you know, that I normally, well, that I like to call kisses on the cheek from God, but actually they're just grace in action. As Joel Goldsmith says, God fills all space and there is no one and no thing outside of God's grace. It's impossible. God is, and grace is. So, but grace, kind of like faith, is one of those concepts that I think takes a bit maybe to understand. Maybe it's not as, let me just make that personal. Took a bit to understand what grace was, took a bit for me to understand what faith was a few years ago. I never, you know, it's one of those things I heard all my life, faith, grace, but I had no real concept of what they were. So, as I said, I'm gonna go into that in depth, but starting with just a couple of experiences. One morning last week, I think it must have been Monday, it was early in the week, my little dog, Grace, and I were taking off for a walk early in the morning, and I noticed that there were leaves on the lawn from my silver maple. And that was strange, because that tree seems to be the last one in the whole neighborhood to drop its leaves every fall. I mean, we're cleaning up leaves after Thanksgiving. So it just kind of, you know, it was a little tap on the shoulder, really, that I even looked at the lawn and saw them, you know. But then when I looked in the tree, it looked like, you know, around the edges, the leaves looked very dry and that they were, you know, already getting ready to fall. So I emailed my guy who does, they're a great company. They service my lawn. They take care of trees. They do a deep root watering for the maple and all the shrubs in the spring and in the fall. They take care of Japanese beetles. They're just wonderful. And they're just a local company. In fact, the owner lives a couple blocks from me. But so I emailed him. And I told him what was going on and asked if I should be concerned, because it was concerning to me. And he said he would review it and get back to me. So a day or so later, the two guys that usually take care of the trees, I call them TNT. Their names both begin with T. Came by. They just came by in the afternoon. They just showed up and said I was actually on their list for the following day, but they got through with their appointments early and had time to come by and take a look at the tree. Now, they'd only been here a few weeks earlier to take care of Japanese beetles, and I think that was what they did. It was some other service. And they said they knew that that tree did not look that way when they were here just a few weeks ago. And I know it didn't either. I mean, this was just kind of a sudden thing that happened. So they instantly knew what was wrong, that it was iron deficient. And that, you know, part of it could be the incredibly hot August that we had, but it was stressed. It was definitely stressed. And as I said, they would be doing a deep root fertilization and watering in the fall this month, probably, but they didn't want to wait. And they were able to do it while they were here. I mean, they made an exception for me. And they also said that trimming the tree this fall would help as well. And, you know, I knew that I've known for a while it needed to be trimmed, but I, before now, wasn't ready to do that because it's kind of expensive. But so, you know, they said that, and they were kind enough to give it an iron treatment while they were here. And so I emailed the main guy immediately and asked to be put on the schedule for trimming. He got right back to me, said it would happen in the next 2 weeks. He put me on the schedule and to just expect it within the next 2 weeks, this week or next, and that there was no charge for the iron treatment they did that day, which was like $150 service. So this is all grace in action. You know, everything that happened, noticing the leaves on the lawn, I mean, there weren't many, but they didn't belong. The guys coming so quickly, diagnosing the problem and doing the treatment right then, and then not being charged for it. Those are all examples of God taking care of me, also known as grace. And I say it all the time, I am always provided for. Always. So that was a massive blessing. And, you know, I did ask when when they looked at the tree and went, wow, it, you know, that was fast, you know, that it got to that state. And I said, she's not dying, is she? And the guy goes, not now, you know, not now or not yet. And I went, okay, that kind of makes me feel better. But what he was saying is that they can treat her and they can bring, and I think it's a her, they can bring it back to being healthy, and the trimming, the pruning is going to help too. So I know it couldn't be in better hands to be healed, you know, than with the tree service that I use. So anyway, that was, they're just a blessing. They're wonderful people. So here's the second example. I have a 6 foot tall rubber tree that has lived in a 9-inch pot for the past 10 years. It was small when I transplanted it, and it's happy and growing constantly. It always has a new leaf on it, always. But I've known for a long time that it really needed to be transplanted. I mean, it's 6 feet tall. It has one big branch, and it recently just shot out a new branch. And so, you know, it's got a new branch and the newest leaves on the top, because it just grows straight up, are smaller than usual. And I mean, the leaves that it has on it are huge, huge. So, you know, aside from being in that small pot and being so tall, it was also, you know, I had it staked and counterbalanced like crazy to include a stake in the pot of the plant next to it, and this ribbon holding it, you know, counterbalancing it so that it was standing up straight, and you know, again, trying to keep it straight off of the window and not falling over. So it was really kind of ridiculous looking, and had been for quite a while with all the stakes and ribbons, but I knew I needed to transplant it, and especially when the new branch came out. But quite honestly, the truth of it is, the thought of it scared me. It really scared me. I'm not, that tree is a foot taller than me, almost. And what if I broke it? You know, what if I broke it, or if I hurt the roots in the process of getting it out of the small pot? Because it has to be root bound. So I know that's why I kept putting it off. It's like, I don't know what to do. So I took my first step a couple weeks ago, ordered a large, really beautiful pot and lots of soil. And I Googled how to do it correctly. I watched a couple videos, and then I was worried that the pot I got was too big, that it was, you know, just maybe an inch bigger than it should have been. And so, you know, here's another thing that keeps me from transplanting the plant. So it's like resistance and more resistance. I just kept tripping over myself. Then in the midst of how to transplant rubber tree videos that I was watching, I found Sheffield Made Plants. And this guy named Rich is just delightful. He is just delightful. And not that the other people, no, this is not disparaging the other people in the videos that I watched, but this guy is so common sense and funny, because you'll watch videos and they talk about, you know, blending your own soils and doing all this stuff, and which I'm not going to do. So that was another part of the resistance. Do I have exactly the right soil? You know? I mean, there was just one thing after another that had me questioning myself. but he's just great. Like I said, he's common sense. He's really funny and has videos for everything having to do with plants, from repotting to pruning to propagating and everything in between. And he basically said, to transplant a plant, to repot a plant, take the root-bound plant out of its container. Don't mess with the roots unless the roots are coming up in the top, you know, above the where the soil is, not, in other words, they've grown up and out of the top of the soil, then, you know, trim them. But he said you don't have to loosen them up. You don't have to do anything. Just put your soil in the new container, make a little bowl for the root ball, and backfill it with soil. And he said, don't worry about it. Plants want to live. So give them a little time, give them the correct water and sunshine, and their roots will grow and spread. So, I mean, he just like, he took the weight of the world off my shoulders. He really did. So I transplanted my rubber tree Sunday night. And aside from moving the really heavy pot with the tree in it, which was tricky, back to where it needed to sit in my window, my magic window, my whole south wall of my dining room is windows, 6x4 windows. And that's where my plants are. That's the magic window. And they thrive there. So moving it back to that spot from where I had transplanted it was really the only kind of tricky part of it. Other than that, it was quick and easy, and it looks so beautiful. It's like, it almost looked like it got prettier just being in that pot with all those stakes and ribbons gone, which, I mean, honestly, that was really ridiculous. But it was a major victory for me, you know, just to get that done. But again, here we go. The information and the right teacher showed up when I needed them. And just doing it and the joy of doing it and the joy I have when I looked at it, is it was all worth it. And that, again, is just an example of being provided for. You know, I don't know what to do. Well, here, listen to this guy. He knows what to do, and he's user-friendly. So there you go. And those two stories may seem like no big deal, but they are. You know, they are, because they are examples of grace and supply. Just the law of grace is the law of love, Joel says. They are what I needed when I needed it on all sides, both stories. So when things like that happen, whether I was talking about grace or not today, I have to share them, because when you notice the good in your life, it brings more good to your life. So, you know, notice. Don't take things for granted. Don't take anything for granted. Don't take anything for granted. If it's a blessing in any way, pay attention. Give thanks and pay attention, because, you know, attention gives life to what it's focused on. So when you're focusing on good happening in your life, more good comes. It has to. It just has to, because that attention is attractive. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I like that. I like that. That's powerful. And that's another, you know, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Another way to say that is God meets us where we are. Where we are. No matter where that is. You know, as long as we're open and we're available, God meets us where we are. So what is grace? And how do we become available for it? In the book, The Heart of Mysticism, Joel Goldsmith wrote, there is an area of consciousness through which you are instantly one with God and with all spiritual being and creation, and through which you find instantly available all forms of good. This has been described as the sea of the spirit, and it is known as well as the universal or divine soul. In achieving conscious contact with this sea of spirit, or the Father within, you find divine love pouring itself into expression, so that you no longer live by personal effort alone, but by grace. Rather than to seek your good from persons or things, tap this universal soul and become a beholder as it pours forth as ideas that manifest as the human forms of good so necessary to your present experience. It's only as you learn to look to this infinite invisible that you begin to understand the nature of grace. Seek everything in life from the kingdom within. Draw your good from the infinity of your own being. Touch that center, the kingdom within, and let the Father reveal your heritage. This, he said, is to live by grace. So, that's powerful. That's powerful. That just lifted me up. So making that connection is practicing the presence of God within. That presence is here. That presence is our consciousness, our soul, self, being, consciousness, life, and mind. That is God within us. If you don't like the word God, it's source, universe, the Tao, Brahman, all that is, the Supreme Being, whatever your word is, that's you. That's you, the divine ground. That is you. That is what lives you, the infinite self that lives you. So meditation, contemplation, is the way to do that. And it's as simple as just taking a few minutes to get out of your thinking mind. You know, the human mind wants to figure things out, go, you know, struggle through, figure it out, control. The human mind wants to control. That's what the human mind wants to do. That's why you think and think and think and think. And that's why our heads can be so busy and chaotic. So in order to touch that divinity within, the kingdom within, which is the infinite storehouse, there is nothing outside of God, nothing, and nothing outside of us to get. We have it. We have it. As Reverend Dyke says, God's got nothing more to give us because God is us. So by getting quiet, you know, to get out of your thinking mind, you can do it several different ways. A couple ways is to just get quiet and be. You know, be still and know that I am God. Just be. Or another way, an easy way, is to just listen with your physical ears to the sounds that are happening in the present moment. As Alan Watts says, you can only hear in the present moment, and you can only see in the present moment. And you are in it and available to it because you're not trying to hear, you're not trying to see. You open your eyes and here's life. Here's God showing up as whatever it is in front of you. Same thing with hearing, listening. But you listen without naming. You just listen. And as you listen, you're not thinking. You're just here in this present moment. And I feel a good thing to do before you sit down to meditate is to ground. And that is as simple as imagining a colored beam of light from your first chakra, which is at the tip of your tailbone, connected to the center of the earth, whatever color feels good to you. Simple. But sitting there and listening for just a couple minutes, you know, don't force it. Just sit and do it. And then when the thoughts come in, you know, when you start thinking again, get up and walk away. Only do it for the amount of time that you can actually have that quiet, have that listening time, or just simply silence. Because to do it either way for 2 or 3 minutes is a healing. It's a reset. And you'll feel that within yourself. Joel calls it like a click. You know, you might, and if you sit in the quiet, you might hear. you might hear information, you know, not just listening for sounds, but you might hear. God is not in the whirlwind. God is in the still, small voice, in the silence, or in the sounds of the present moment. Or something might come, a picture might come into your head as you sit there with your eyes closed. You know, you never know. Or you may just feel like you're in the arms of God. And that too is connection. That is connection. You know, and so many people say, because I've taught meditation for years and years, people say I can't meditate. Because they think, you know, that you got to meditate, you got to sit quietly in the lotus position for 30 minutes. And that is just not true. That is just not true. Number one, I can't sit in the lotus position for 5 minutes. But, you know, just sitting in a comfortable chair. And that's the other thing. You sit down to meditate and you are comfortable. You're in a chair that is comfortable. Your feet are on the ground. And what you do when you sit and you are comfortable, you eliminate the distraction of not being comfortable in your chair, right? You're eliminating distractions. So whatever you need to be as comfortable as you can be, you just sit down, you feel your body in the chair, you feel the chair supporting your body, and you breathe. And again, you just don't put any rules around it. You don't make a task of it. You don't do it because it's good for you. You do it because it's a pleasure. It's a healing. And it's just a respite from the chaos and thinking of the material world. So if you make a task of it, if you make a chore out of it, you won't get the benefit. You just won't. And the benefit is connection. So you take it in very, very small bites. Again, 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 or 4 minutes. Don't push it beyond the place where you're starting to think or you're starting to get distracted. At that moment, get up and leave. Because after that, it's just going to be a fight trying to get back to that quiet place. Don't do it. Just come back later. You know, if you take 2 or 3 minutes, you can do that several times in a day, really. And every time you do, you feel more. You know, it becomes something that's second nature, just second nature. And it becomes something, speaking personally, that I can't do without. I can't get on with my day without starting it with a quiet time with God, you know? And then obviously what I do is conducive to that. But I mean, really, if we're talking 2 or 3 minutes, how hard is that? I mean, it's just not difficult at all. But that's where you make that connection. That's where you begin that flow, being able to be in that flow of grace. Joel wrote, without doubt, one of the happiest days that ever comes to an individual is when he first realizes that God's grace is all he'll ever need. Grace is our only need. Although we think we have need of food and clothing, through grace it's revealed that man shall not live by bread alone, and even the lilies of the fields are clothed. We need only the realization of God's grace. And when grace descends upon us, we are abundantly provided and lovingly cared for. Harmony of body and supply, harmony of family life, and harmony of national and international life are the natural unfoldments of God realization. It is no more necessary to pray specifically for help than it is to pray for sunshine. It is no more necessary to pray for supply and abundance than it is to pray for potatoes to produce potatoes or for rice to produce rice. Always there is in operation the law of like begetting like. From the rose shall come roses, and from the cow shall come cows. Already there is in operation a law that day must follow night and night must follow day. One need not pray for these things, merely become aware that God's grace is the law, and God's law is love. It is because of this law of love that the tides turn on schedule, that the stars are in the appointed places, their appointed places, on time, that the sun and moon and earth maintain their positions. The universe is maintained and sustained by God's law of love. And in just the same manner does God's law of love care and provide for every child of God, be human, animal, vegetable, or mineral. But we must understand and remember this law and this love only operates for us as we individually open ourselves to God's grace. The first step's always ours. It's like giving and receiving are two sides of the same coin, but we have to go first. We have to give. In this case, we have to make ourselves available, open ourselves to that flow of grace and love through us. And then it goes out from us to everyone we encounter, to our world. But there's another big bonus here, and that is that once we realize grace as an actual force in our lives, we stop depending on people and things in the material world for anything. We stop depending on, quote unquote, man whose breath is in his nostrils and this world of effects. And that is true freedom. That is true freedom. Depending on anyone for our survival, for our validation, for anything is typically ends in disappointment because people are people. People are people. But that grace, and when we don't depend on people, when we are free, when we are free within ourselves, when we depend on source, when we depend on God, and on being that inlet and outlet of grace, then we're just different. We're different and we're happy, and we can take people for who they are, even family members for who they are and what they are. And we are self-contained and demonstrating that we are self-contained. And that's a good thing because we're more comfortable, I think, and I'm again speaking from personal experience, more comfortable just being who we are, you know, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that toward the end in a few minutes, but boy, that is freedom. It's just freedom, not depending on anyone or anything, but source. It's incredible. Joel said, in order to achieve harmony in our individual and collective affairs, it is necessary that we open consciousness to permit the entrance of God, not by seeking to get something from God, but by giving something of God to our fellow man. God is the source of all good. In our spiritual selfhood, we are the children of God, heirs to all the heavenly riches, and it is God's pleasure to give us the kingdom. To God, we can give nothing, but we can accept the grace that flows so abundantly, and we can open out a way for it to flow to others. We must accept this grace not only for ourselves, but for all. And again, that's from The Heart of Mysticism, which is Joel Goldsmith's Letters to Students, Infinite Way Students, 1955 to 1959. It's a gold mine. It's a gold mine, that book. And I love Joel anyway. So, you know, when I said I'm always provided for, I meant it. That's just life, my life. I'm always provided for whatever I need, whatever, literally whatever I need, an idea, a topic for the show. Well, the sources that I get my information from to share with you, I just always have it. You know, I get a tap on the shoulder, grace, okay. And here you go, this, and this. But I'm always provided for, but as he said, it is a circle. We must be the inlet and outlet of that grace, the clear instruments through which divine love, divine wisdom, and infinite supply demonstrate in the material world to everyone that we encounter. Not trying to be that, but just being it. Just being it. Being the best that we can be. Good people. Living in integrity, demonstrating God through love, giving, and then resting in that grace. That's all we have to do. That's all we have to do. So, recently, I had a couple of interesting experiences that made me realize just how big a part grace plays in my life. You know, I know I'm always provided for. And I know I've said that 15 times in the course of this show. But I had just the most amazing experiences that I just keep thinking about, keep playing in my head, not in a bad way, but just sort of pondering them. On two separate occasions, I was talking with friends who asked me about my work. Now, I don't talk about the work that I do, like on 1-2 Listen. I don't talk about that. When I meet somebody, when I'm introduced to somebody, like, I don't know, at a party or a gathering or something, I always say I'm a counselor, you know, I'm a spiritual counselor, and kind of leave it at that. Or that I work on the phone and leave it at that. But these two friends, again, on separate occasions, we were having lunch. I was having lunch with these two people on separate occasions. One's an old friend, and the other I met recently. So they were asking me what I do. And again, I don't talk about my work to anyone outside of the people who understand what I do, you know, like in detail, my peers or members of my family. So in explaining what I do on 1-2 Listen, and how that works, I realized exactly why I don't talk about it. It just was like, oh, stop talking now. My new friend said, so you never know day to day what's going to happen. You never know. And I said, that's right. And he said, I could never do that. I have to have a plan and I have to know what I'm doing and I have to know where I'm going and blah, blah, blah. And I'm listening to him and I understand that. I understand that. And then he said, how do you budget? And I thought, budget? What an odd word, you know? And I said, I'm always provided for. If I weren't, I would not be in my 17th year as an advisor on 1-2 Listen. I am always taken care of. And I trust that. I just trust it. And he was like, honestly, he was looking at me like I had three heads. And it was really, I was kind of getting a chuckle inside. Because, you know, thinking about it from the other side of the table, That would seem pretty nuts, you know, and real scary. But it's my life. It's just how things go, how the day goes, how the days go. And it's just, it's amusing now. It's really amusing. My other friend that you know, is an old friend, but that we've never talked about it either, asked me when we had lunch, when I'm going to retire. I thought, retire? What an odd word. And I said to her, I said, my work is my dharma. It's my purpose. It's what I'm here to do. There's no retiring from that. What would I, you know, what would I do? I mean, there is no, why would I retire? It's my healing, my fulfilling, my fulfillment. And she too looked at me and like totally didn't get it. And she said, because she's recently retired, her husband has just a phenomenal job. He's gone all the time, but she, you know, she doesn't have to work anymore. But there's a difference there. For her, work was work. Work was a job. And so she's very, very happy not having to do that anymore. Whereas I see that and go, then how are you fulfilled? You know, how are you giving back? And, but this is not, and I'm not saying that judgmentally. I'm just saying we were polar opposites in talking about that subject. And it was very, very interesting. And she even said, which really cracked me up. She even said, so what if this wonderful man came along and swept you off your feet and wanted to take you to Spain for 5 months? And I'm sitting there just looking at her, and she goes, you take your laptop, wouldn't you? I said, of course I take my laptop. I have to work. What are you going to do for 24 hours a day, even in Spain? And that's not my first place I want to go. If I want to go someplace, I want to go to Slovenia and Italy. But anyway, it was just so funny to kind of take a step back and be the observer of both of those conversations and just realize, you know, when you do heart work, when you do spiritual work, you're different. You're just different. And I've always known I was a square peg, but man, that really, really proved it. And I love it. And I own it with pride. I really, truly do. Because I am so blessed to do what I do. I absolutely, it's my heart. It's my soul. It is my Dharma. And those two conversations made clear that God's grace is my abundant all sufficiency in all things. It just is. And I trust it. And I expect it. But they also made clear that I'm smart just to tell people I'm a counselor when they ask me what I do and leave it at that. Just leave it at that. Because it reminded me of, you know, it's like when you're in the process of manifesting something, a desire or intention, you don't share it with anyone. You don't. You keep it close. You nurture it and honor it and feed it with your love. Unless you share it with someone that can support you, someone that Sonia Choquette called believing eyes. In other words, they can be in it with you and support you and add their intention to you. Unless you have someone like that, you open yourself and your intention up to the opinions and judgments of others, and they just dilute it, and they can dilute the work that you've done, and that's just not worth it. So, you know, it's kind of the same thing, and I apparently had to say that because we're all working on something, aren't we? You know, because we can't stand still. We are the individualization of Source. And Source just wants to become more and more of itself in, through, and as us and our experiences. So the desire for something good is given us from Source. And we just move along with it, you know, and do our best to be available for it and change whatever we need to change in order to have it. Because we have to be it in order to have it in our lives. So it's a sacred thing. Whatever it is that we're looking for, looking to do, to be, to have, that's better, bigger, and good, it's sacred. So keep it that way. And on that note, thank you for joining me today. I'm Kelly Whetstone. This is Empowerment. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that you listen to the world. I hope you have a very, very blessed week, and please stay tuned for Katie Weaver. Bye, everyone.